All right, you all are very lucky. We have a very special treat tonight. Chris Beachy and friends, the composers of the Love It or Leave It theme, are here to perform it live for you. So please welcome to stage Chris Beachy and friends! To the stage, John Lovett!
That was awesome. One more time for Chris Beachy and friends. They'll be back later. How's everybody doing? Lovely to see you all. Before I sit down in this middle part where some of you will be briefly blocked but still incredibly entertained, I want to say hello. Welcome to Love It or Leave It. It's a beautiful week here in Los Angeles. The sun is shining, the sky is blue. Most of the planes haven't fallen out of the sky. Hope I didn't jinx it. This week, Chelsea Peretti shares her questionable taste. Emily Heller faces some serious jeopardy. In honor of St. Patrick's Day, my guests and I each declare ourselves the patron saint of something. Can't pick driving snakes out of Ireland. Maybe I'll pick driving snakes back into Ireland. And Chris Beachy and friends will be back. But first, let's get into it. What a week. President Biden and Donald Trump have officially clinched their party's presidential nominations after winning their respective primaries on Tuesday. Yep, that's the vibe. We always knew this is how it would end, but it was important to go through the process like meeting up with your ex for closure or reading the whole Cheesecake Factory menu before you order the crusted chicken Romano again. The RNC canned about 60 employees shortly after its new leadership installed by Donald Trump took over the committee. Couldn't have happened to a nicer group of people. But like I told him, don't think of it as getting fired from the RNC. Think of it as starting an exciting new role at the RNC. The judge overseeing Trump's election interference case in Georgia threw out six of the charges against Trump and his allies, but left most of the indictment intact. Unlike that ass, said prosecutor Nathan Wade to district attorney Fonnie Willis in a sweet, in on the joke sort of way. You freaks. In a Newsmax interview on Wednesday, Donald Trump compared himself to Andrew Jackson and Abraham Lincoln and came to this conclusion.
Nobody's been treated like Trump in terms of badly.
Nobody has been treated like Trump in terms of badly. Recent polling seems to suggest that voters are fine with this because Trump has always talked this way. This is a lesson for young people with political aspirations. It's never too early to start talking like you were kicked in the head by a mule. Meanwhile, in an interview with MSNBC, President Biden criticized Benjamin Netanyahu over his conduct of the war in Gaza.
He has a right to defend Israel, a right to continue to pursue Hamas, but he must pay more attention to the innocent lives being lost as a consequence of the actions taken. He's hurting, in my view, he's hurting Israel more than helping Israel by making the rest of the world, it's contrary to what Israel stands for. And I think it's a big mistake.
Pay more attention feels maybe too gentle here. Let's practice more mindful bombing. Let's think about connecting the airstrikes to our breath. In the interview, Biden called for a 6-week ceasefire, but when asked if an invasion of Rafah would cross a red line beyond which the U.S. can't support Israel, the president said this.
It is a red line, but I'm never going to leave Israel. The defense of Israel is still critical, so there's no red line. I'm going to cut off all weapons so they don't have the Iron Dome to protect them. They don't have, but there's red lines that if it crosses, and you cannot have 30,000 more Palestinians dead.
Maybe there's no red line, but do you have to tell him there's no red line? When you're arranging a date, for example, you don't tell them that you can show up whenever you want and you'll still go, hey, no worries, because you have no boundaries and a pathological need to be liked. It's true, but you don't announce it. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan spoke out against, quote, smashing into Rafah, where there are 1.3 million people, in the absence of a credible plan to deal with the population there. And again, as things stand today, we have not seen what that plan is. I'm sure Bibi is just putting the finishing touches on that plan. Oh, this just in, it's a stick figure giving Biden the finger. And then on Thursday, Chuck Schumer called for new elections in Israel, describing four obstacles to peace: the threat posed by Hamas, the failures of the Palestinian Authority, right-wing extremists in the Israeli government, and the current prime minister.
The fourth major obstacle to peace is Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, who has all too frequently bowed to the demands of extremists.
You lost Schumer, man. Netanyahu's lost Park Slope. The Upper West Side is next. And then what's left for you, man? North Shore Towers, Westchester, Great Neck, give it up. Vice President Kamala Harris went to a Minnesota Planned Parenthood this week, the first ever visit to an abortion provider by a president or vice president. Bill Clinton obviously never went inside. He just called after to make sure it went smoothly. Staff at the clinic said they appreciated the vice president's visit and the opportunity to see so many of her Funko Pops up close. Said the vice president,
many of you have asked, why am I here at this facility in particular? And I will tell you, it is because right now in our country, we are facing a very serious health crisis. And the crisis is affecting many, many people in our country, most of whom are, frankly, silently suffering.
Oh, that's why you're here? I'm here for a yeast infection, said a stunned patient who regretted not coming up with literally anything else to say and felt weird about it her whole drive home. The House on Wednesday passed a bill that would ban TikTok in the United States unless the app's Chinese-owned parent company, ByteDance, sells it within 6 months. But it's not over yet. If you're in line to convince yourself that you have undiagnosed ADHD, stay in line. It's sad to see this. Banning apps is a trauma response. The bill passed with overwhelming bipartisan support, despite Donald Trump saying that banning TikTok would make young people go crazy. Not like now, when young people are perfectly sane and simply think that Osama bin Laden made some good points. President Biden said last week that he would sign the bill if it makes it to his desk. Biden, of course, launched his own TikTok account last month, but he's far from the first person to try out TikTok and immediately decide the state needs to forcibly remove this from my phone. It's unclear if the bill will make it through the Senate, where Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer hasn't yet committed to bringing it to a vote. And if enacted, the ban would face legal challenges, as well it should. The goal is to get ByteDance to sell TikTok to an American company, which means that the position of Democrats and Republicans supporting this bill isn't necessarily the data the app collects, but who has access to it. Fine. Fair enough. But what is your concern beyond vague assertions about privacy? What are you actually seeing in these secret briefings? What led to this to pass by such a wide margin? It's pretty galling to me that Congress, who we all know and love and trust, might pass a bill that, while not necessarily but potentially, could ban a popular platform without ever explaining the actual reason to the millions of Americans who use that platform. These people work for us, and no one is being compelled to use TikTok. My feeling on this is simple. If Congress wants to tell the free people of America we can't use an app, then they got to share their super secret reasons. And then, one by one, members of Congress come into a big congressional hearing room on live television, and all there is in the room is a table. And on that table is an iPhone, a PC, and a 10-minute timer. And they have 10 minutes to turn an unsigned PDF on that iPhone into a signed PDF on that PC. Then you can tell me how to use my fucking phone. And by the way, not to mention the fact that if it does sell to an American company, do you really trust that that won't be some fucking drug deal too? That's something like I saw like Steven Mnuchin, Trump's former Treasury Secretary. Remember him? He says his wife held up the money with her gloves. Like that's who's sort of eyeing buying this company. And it's like, okay, so we're going to put money in that guy's pockets to stop China from owning an app because it's very, very dangerous, but you won't explain why. And once that app is in the hands of an American private corporation, that threat to our privacy isn't so salient as to ever even tell us the truth about what it was, that doesn't really track to me. But what do I know? Speaking of technological sophisticates, former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, in rare form, said this of the bill on Wednesday.
This is not an attempt to ban TikTok. It's an attempt to make TikTok better. Tic-tac-toe. A winner. A winner.
Mike Johnson couldn't riff like that with a gun to his fucking head or a copy of Sports Illustrated to his head. Whichever he finds more threatening. Also on Wednesday, Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders introduced a bill that would move America to a standard four-day, 32-hour work week with no reduction in pay. Hold for applause by those lazy fucks. Ah. Sanders explained that this will give workers more time for what makes life worth living, which in his experience is reheating soup in the microwave and going to the donut shop at 5 a.m. to argue about the Brooklyn Dodgers. I don't want fewer days at work. That's where the people I pay to hang out with me are. Sanders noted this fact.
We were talking about a 40-hour work week 80 years ago, and that's what people today, despite the explosion of technology, are working. The sad reality is Americans now work more hours than the people of any other wealthy nation.
Well, sure, but we have all that extra time from not being able to go to the doctor. Said one confused worker, if I don't have to work on Fridays at the slaughterhouse, would my parents have to get a babysitter? Thank you, sir. That was for you. Fewer than 100 House Republicans, less than half the caucus, RSVP'd to attend the House GOP retreat this week, with many reportedly complaining about both the Virginia venue and the prospect of having to hang out with each other. People don't want to hang out with me, asked Marjorie Taylor Greene, foaming at the mouth while drawing a gigantic penis on a billboard of herself. Speaking of advertising, this was so weird. South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem posted a baffling, nearly five-minute-long infomercial for a Texas dentist this week.
I'm the governor of South Dakota and had the opportunity to come to Smile, Texas to fix my teeth, which has been absolutely amazing. The team here was remarkable and finally gave me a smile that I can be proud of and confident in. And that really is a gift that I think is going to be incredibly special to have. You know, I think that I chose the team here at Smile Texas because they're the best. Well, when they first showed me with a mirror my new teeth, I started to cry.
Current governor, just post that on the internet one random day. Why you gotta go to Texas to get dental work? Besides, I don't think she should have posted on X. I think she should have saved it for Tooth Social. Yeah, that's right. A Democratic lawmaker in South Dakota proposed an inquiry into the legislature's audit committee, saying, according to the AP, "I just thought it was a very strange video about how much she enjoyed having her teeth done at that particular place." And it is very strange. It makes no sense for Noam to be advertising an out-of-state dental clinic, at least do South Dakotans a service, and recommend an out-of-state abortion clinic. The share of U.S. adults who identify as LGBTQ has more than doubled in the last 12 years. According to a new Gallup poll, that's right. It's up from 3.5% to 7.6% now.
It's raining!
All right, stop it. Yes, the alternative milks are working. I mean, sorry, it's crazy. This has nothing to do with alternative milks. Some see the glass as 7.6% full. I prefer to see the glass as 92.4% still in the closet. This trend reflects the growing consensus that no one is completely straight except for Taylor Swift. The news was announced during LGBTQ Plus's quarterly earnings call to the delight of shareholders. In other good gay news, the state of Florida settled a lawsuit challenging the Parental Rights Education Act, better known as Don't Say Gay. "Sick, we can start calling things gay again," said Florida's bullies. Equality Florida called the settlement a landmark achievement in the fight for LGBTQ rights in Florida. The settlement establishes that the law does not apply to library books. It does not prohibit references to LGBTQ persons, couples, families, or issues. It doesn't prohibit gay straight alliances. It doesn't prohibit book fairs that include gay books. And it doesn't prohibit clothing that does not conform with one's perceived gender identity or prohibit instruction against bullying on the basis of sexual orientation or gender identity. And it does ban anyone from making watching Drag Race their whole personality. Boots the house down. Speaking of gay things, PETA released a statement asking the White House to use potatoes instead of eggs in their annual Easter egg hunt. Here to comment on the demand, it's Love It or Leave It head writer Hallie Kiefer.
Dear PETA,
shut up! Just shut up! Oh, how about you just use potatoes instead of eggs? How about you just shut up? How dare you every day have to write monologue jokes about the world just being torn asunder as humanity attempts to drag itself out of the clutches of our blood-soaked, racist, misogynistic, xenophobic, queerphobic, transphobic past, and you're here being like, oh, maybe paint a potato instead of eggs. Shut up! Shut up! Also, you don't think I saw your other press release also released this week telling people to stop saying cheese when they smell for a photo? You know what PETA says you should say instead? This is true. Nutritional yeast, to which I say shut up! Every time I see a press release from PETA, it's the dumbest, most clickbaity idea I've ever seen, designed specifically to catch my eye and my ire by floating to the top of the 24/7 news muck, which isn't easy to do. In fact, it's almost impossible. Given the never-ending onslaught of current events, I mean, really, what are you supposed to do, PETA? Animal farming is an important issue. You have to do whatever you could do, no matter how stupid it might be. To grab headlines nowadays, it makes all the sense in the world. Just because I think it's only going to inspire eye rolls doesn't mean I don't see the value in it. It's not like I know what to do either, obviously. I don't. I write this show. You see our limitations. So who am I to criticize you? I don't have any better ideas. And hey, maybe some weird but thoughtful person will think about that and think about eating animal products and sit with the ramifications of how animals are treated and see how that treatment is a reflection of how we treat ourselves, you know? And that's a conversation we need to have, so maybe it is in fact I who need to shut up. Thank you.
Hallie Kiefer, everybody. I don't know if say yeast is going to catch on. All right, kids. Say yeast. That sucks. John Barnett, a former Boeing quality control manager who became a whistleblower about manufacturing problems at the company, was found dead in South Carolina on Saturday, which is interesting because Boeing had previously claimed that he was fine and just recovering from abdominal surgery. The day before he died, Barnett had testified in a deposition about a series of safety issues he had seen at a Boeing plant. We've obtained this footage of his final moments. For those listening to this audio podcast, it was the scene where an engine falls into Donnie Darko's room. So now you know why to laugh. And now you're freaking laughing so hard in your car. All right, the gym or on the toilet. Elon Musk canceled X's new partnership with Don Lemon before it had even hit the airwaves. But why? What a mystery. Musk claimed in a post it was because Lemon's approach was basically just CNN but on social media, which doesn't work as evidenced by the fact that CNN is dying. Unlike the thriving platform called X, which used to have ads for Apple and Ford, and now has what seems to be an Amish woman selling homemade jam. How is that even possible? How does she know? Anyway, of course Lemon tweeted, Elon Musk had canceled the partnership I had with X hours after an interview I conducted with him on Friday. Moments later, friend of the show, Kara Swisher, posted, scoop, as I told Don Lemon would happen. The owner of this platform, Elon Musk, sent a terse text to Lemon, contract terminated. After an interview Lemon did with Musk last Friday that was not to the adult toddler's liking, including questions about his ketamine use, Lemon went on CNN to share a clip of their exchange about Musk's drug use.
You talk about your ketamine use and depression. You also have said...
The reason I mentioned the ketamine prescription on the X platform was because I thought maybe this is something that could help other people. Mm-hmm. That's why I mentioned it. Obviously, I'm not a doctor, but I would say... If someone has depression issues, they should consider talking to their doctor about ketamine instead of SSRIs.
First of all, Elon Musk, drugs, I just don't see it. Also, man, the SSRI people should just put this on during the Super Bowl. Yeah, no, you're a great advertisement for ketamine, man. Totally, absolutely crushing it. A medical team at a London hospital used the Apple Vision Pro headset during two recent spinal surgeries. And yeah, both the patients died, but it was like the dinosaur was right there in the operating room. Imagine you're in there for fucking spinal surgery. The anesthesiologist tells you to count down from 10. You're at 4 and you see the fucking goggles come down. That is an absolute nightmare. Speaking of cool shit, Olivia Rodrigo handed out free condoms and morning after pills at her St. Louis Guts show. This just in, Olivia Rodrigo has been crucified under Missouri state law. That's a shame. I love someone who walks the walk. The VIP passes came with a pap smear. I said schmear. It's not schmear, right? I don't know. Why wouldn't it be? British pop star Lily Allen said this week that while she loves her kids, having children had ruined her career. I do appreciate the honesty. I'm just not sure why she would say it at her daughter's birthday party. Anyway, good on her for saying it. Children should be saddled with immense guilt from the moment they're born. It's always worked for the Jews. Are we happy? No. But the test scores? Mwah. All right. Added Alan, it really annoys me when people say you can have it all, because quite frankly, you can't. Speak for yourself, Lily. I have a thriving career and a golden doodle who, when left unsupervised, will eat the contents of an entire media company's trash cans and then barf in the biggest meeting she can find. New Orleans' police superintendent said on Monday that rats had gotten into the police department's stash of confiscated marijuana at its rundown headquarters. Yeah, tell them it's rats, said two very high police officers eating po' boys in a cemetery. Police Superintendent Ann Kirkpatrick said this at a meeting of the City Council Criminal Justice Committee.
I want you to see the tray of all of the...
roaches.
Major rodents on the floor, the cockroaches, the rats eating our marijuana. They're all high.
What's the problem? Do the rats have jobs? Are they supposed to fly a plane later? No. Leave them alone. They've had a long week. Staff at a Virginia Wildlife Center are wearing fox masks as they care for an orphaned baby fox. Is it awe or is it fucking chilling to the bone? Finally, some Fox News I can get behind. Thank you. They intend to reintroduce the fox into the wild and don't want the baby fox to become imprinted upon or habituated to humans. So you guessed it, they had to fuck each other with the mask on. Like you wouldn't. Sorry. And finally, they're calling it skajoring.
It is time for some Colorado.
Yeah!
Get ready, my friends. We'll show you exactly what 76 years of getting this down to a T looks like.
It's half skiing, half rodeo. Competitors don skis and are pulled by horses alongside an obstacle course with jumps to land suspended hoops with a ski pole. All this and more on this week's The Whitest Ways to Die. Up next, a woman of taste. It's Chelsea Peretti.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
I'm Dan Pfeiffer. For years, I've heard from candidates, activists, and political staffers who turn to PodSave America for political strategy and messaging advice because they don't have access to a political consultant or a pollster. That's flattering to hear, but it's a huge problem. If we're going to defeat MAGA and protect democracy, we need everyone to have access to the best information and advice possible. That's why I recently launched MessageBox Pro, a subscription consulting product for people working at every level of politics. Subscribers get weekly strategy memos, data-driven messaging insights, and polling analysis. Plus, you get access to an incredible community of smart, committed political pros. Whether you're running for office, staffing a politician, organizing your community, or working in communications at any level, MessageBox Pro is built for you. To learn more or sign up, go to messageboxpro.com.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
I'm Dan Pfeiffer. For years, I've heard from candidates, activists, and political staffers who turn to PodSave America for political strategy and messaging advice because they don't have access to a political consultant or a pollster. That's flattering to hear, but it's a huge problem. If we're going to defeat MAGA and protect democracy, we need everyone to have access to the best information and advice possible. That's why I recently launched MessageBox Pro, a subscription consulting product for people working at every level of politics. Subscribers get weekly strategy memos, data-driven messaging insights, and polling analysis. Plus, you get access to an incredible community of smart, committed political pros. Whether you're running for office, staffing a politician, organizing your community, or working in communications at any level, MessageBox Pro is built for you. To learn more or sign up, go to messageboxpro.com.
And we're back! Our first guest. She's incredibly funny, Chelsea Peretti. Hi, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
You just directed your first feature.
Yeah.
And it's called First Time Female Director.
Crazy, right?
Was it that you had to have an idea right then? You know what I mean? Was it like, because you were like, it's my first time directing, I'm gonna make a movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's what it was.
How did you know where to put the cameras?
That
seems so scary
to me. I barely did.
Really?
I barely did, yeah. Do you think we have good chemistry?
Not
so
yet.
Far?
But we will. We will. And honestly,
we're feeling it out. We did backstage, actually.
For a beat. For like a second. We found something.
Yeah.
We found something.
But look how we both sit. So comfy.
I know. We can't sit normal.
Yeah.
And then how do you decide what lenses to use? That seems like really hard too.
Yeah.
You know what I never understood?
Mm-mm.
Why do they say wide and long?
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know. Have you heard of DPs?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They know about that.
They are the ones who really know a ton about that. No, I'm sure a lot of directors do. I'm just like a lowly woman comedian who just got in over her head, but guess what? It's funny.
I think it's cool.
Yeah.
Now, Chelsea.
Yes, I'm going to be less monotone now. I'm going to start doing like longer answers.
Okay.
Okay.
What's it like directing your first feature?
You know what? It actually really was fun. I know everyone like lies when they do press, and actors are just always lying at all times.
All the time.
Yeah.
Isn't that funny?
It
They're always so full of shit.
Yeah. No, I was just talking backstage with your other guest, and I was saying, I think like any A-list actor has to be certifiably insane.
Yeah. Ooh, no, man. They are.
They are. Oh. Your audience didn't like that. They're like, we like our A-listers.
Yeah. No. Yeah, no. Timothée Chalamet is very normal.
Yeah.
That's a normal person with those bones. Are you kidding me? You don't come out with that bone structure for and then be normal. You can't go to a CPK.
Have you seen his early videos online? Pretty normal.
Pretty normal. Pretty normal.
Yeah. Do people ever like that you're... Well, actually, I don't know your love status. Mm. But do people ever be like, write me a speech?
Like, romantically?
Yeah. I feel like if I was...
I'm sorry, just... I'm truly just trying to understand.
Yeah.
Just give me a little bit more about where this is happening.
I just think, like, if you're on the dating scene and you're known to be, like, this great speech writer, it would be so hot to, like, write a speech for someone that you're...
Yeah. Like, ask not what your butt can do for me.
Yeah.
That kind of a thing.
That's,
you know?
That's eloquent, yeah.
Ask what...
Is that a discarded Obama speech?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That was, you know, like they're always like, oh, you know, you need a race speech for this, or he race speech for butts.
Yeah. Does he listen to this?
I hope not. I don't think so. I don't, maybe. I yeah, he so. Does.
Yeah.
He does. And he comments.
Yeah.
Yeah, he reviews every episode.
That's cool. That makes me feel so excited right now.
Now, you also like to cook.
I do love cooking.
but you also have, I would say, some surprising positions on food itself.
Yeah, you know, I do talk about food a lot on my podcast, and we do these things called food tests where I ask callers, like, I have a call-in podcast, and I ask callers to, like, I say a food, I ask them if it's good or bad, and then I tell them if they're right or wrong. Because, you know, like the Oscars, it's like art is objectively, some art is better than others,
100%.
And food, objectively, some is better than others.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We're falling apart.
We'll get back.
We'll get back. Yeah, yeah. And look how many papers you have.
When we tighten this thing up, oh my God, it's going to sing.
Oh my God, it's going to sing opera.
And as I tell the live audience every week,
yeah.
They don't matter. They're a tool.
Really? That's terrifying.
They're a tool for making the audio experience for the huge audience at home better. Because
right.
If you add this group of people to the podcast audience, it's still the podcast audience. That's how big the podcast audience is for this show compared to this tiny and insignificant group of people. I don't care how they feel about the show.
Oh,
so
you're mean to your fans just like I am.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, you gotta bully them.
Right.
You gotta bully them.
I understand.
They gotta know what's what.
They like it. They're all
they
smiling.
They like it. That's their
for
kink.
The record. Yeah.
That's their kink.
Yeah.
People who follow politics as closely as the audience of this show are not sexually normal. These are people who have fetishes.
These are people who need to.
I mean, look, I don't want to judge it. I just think they're people that need to be abused.
Right.
In some way or another.
I just keep looking at them in new ways. Yeah.
Yeah. Something to think about. Mm. They're not disagreeing, are they?
No, their lips are sealed. Which lips? I don't know.
Could be the other ones.
That's right.
That's so funny. Could be the other ones.
Write that for a speech for me.
I worked in the White House.
I know. That's so crazy. I really am like, could I DM you and get you to write me a speech?
You could. It feels like a lifetime ago.
Oh.
And I was younger and smarter.
Yeah.
It's time for a segment we're calling A Real Pizza Work. I'm going to ask you about certain foods, and you're just going to tell us what you feel about them.
Okay.
Frosting.
Hate.
Really?
See?
So, say more about that.
Well, I just think people overdo it.
That's right.
It's like eating butter, I don't know, sweet butter.
Saying that weird. It's like eating butter, but sweet butter.
What, that sounds good to you?
Yeah.
I just think the texture of cake is so soft and so appealing, you know? And then frosting just kind of, it's like literally gumming up the works. I like a little bit.
Yeah.
But people put like an inch thick and it's really hard.
Inch thick and hard. Their ears are burning.
Now I'm talking your language. Yeah.
I agree. I like frosting, but I agree that it's mostly...
Wait, I did not say I like frosting. Now that's politics. Sorry. That's politics.
Sorry.
You're Sorry. Right, Chelsea. Frosting's great. I'm like, what?
No. But there's often way, way too much of it, is the
yes,
point I was making.
It's a portion.
A little bit. It's like aesthetically, it wants more, but the taste, you want less.
Yeah.
Soup.
I don't like soup very much. Now there's some soups I like. I like gazpacho. I like a number of Korean soups are good.
Oh.
But just a lot of like soup, it's just the same texture. Now this picture is
soup.
It's misleading because it's got a lot of textures going on, but a lot of soups are just the same bite over and over.
Right. That's talking about broth. You're saying you don't like broth.
I love how earnest you're being.
I'm just saying, if what you're saying is you don't like soup because this isn't soup because this has stuff in it.
Yeah.
I think, to my mind,
wow,
it is soup.
I've never really been defeated like this. This is one to think about. All it took was a photo and I'm flummoxed. Yeah.
What do you think about chowder?
Now, chowder... I can't say like I'm a crazed chowder head.
Oh.
I mean, I'll eat it, but it's not like it's not gonna be my go-to.
Yeah. Sometimes they'll sneak a ham in there and you think, I didn't need ham in this.
I didn't need much of it. I'll eat that like once a year, maybe.
The thing I feel about soup.
Yeah.
Is this.
Yeah. Bring it home.
Here's how I feel about soup. It is not for me a meal.
Okay. Let me unpack that sentence. It was like a maze.
I'm never saying, oh, you know what I want to eat between lunch and the morning? Soup. I always want something else. I want something more. You know what I'm saying?
Are you sure you wrote speeches for Obama?
Yeah. Yeah. You want to know something funny?
Yes.
When they were hiring one more speechwriter to work for President Obama,
yeah,
my co-founder of Crooked, John Favreau, was hiring. He was the chief speechwriter for President Obama.
I used to date him.
Right.
Just kidding. I'm kidding. But, I just wanted to see what you would say.
I was like, what am I?
You looked shocked.
I was like, what I actually went to was, oh no, are you another person who thinks John Favreau from Iron Man is the same as the John? Because that'll happen.
Listen, for me, he's John Favreau from Dinner for Five.
Right.
Anyone?
Right.
No one's seen it.
People love Dinner for Five. It was like
Dinner for Five.
Hey, honestly, I was at that table. It was a Dinner for Six because I'm watching and having a great time.
Now you're talking.
Because I'm eating on my couch, having a blast.
You just came alive.
That's right.
Have you ever said that before?
No.
Wow.
But the point I was going to make is only this. When John was hiring one more speechwriter, somebody called him and said, you should not hire John Lovett. That's me.
Whoa.
Because he's really hit or miss. Sometimes he'll write something really, really great.
Yeah.
But sometimes he'll send something you're going to have to really kind of fix basically from scratch.
Yeah.
And John, to his credit, said, well, I can fix something bad, but if I get something really great, that's valuable. So it didn't have the intended effect. But the point is, I think you're getting the part that the fixing part.
Yeah.
That's the vibe I'm giving off right now. I'm giving off the vibe that says,
no,
I can't.
No, I'm getting it all. It's a
I'm worried about what this Word document's going to be when I open it. What do you think about pizza?
I think pizza, listen, I'm not going to say it's bad, but I do think it is overrated.
Wow. For people listening at home, you can't see this, but she is hiling Hitler. So that's why people react to that way, to a completely fine food opinion. She's doing a Nazi salute. That's why everyone gasps, just for people at home.
Yeah, the two are kind of linked for me.
You think it's overrated?
Yeah, if I could choose, like if I was sitting down and I could have pizza or pasta, I would always choose pasta.
Oh, interesting.
Now anyone turning their feelings around?
So
no, wow, she shakes her head no. She says no.
So you know that poster that says, like, a bad day at the golf course is better than a good day at work?
I don't think I hang out in the same places as you.
You know that, but you know the poster?
No, I don't.
It's a poster, and it says, a bad day on the golf course is better than a good day at work.
Okay.
That's pizza for me. Pizza's the golf course.
Like normcore.
What I'm just saying...
Oh, no, you love pizza.
I'm just saying that, like, bad pizza is still good to me. Like, it's hard to... You can ruin pasta. You can get pasta and be like, no, thank you.
You can ruin pizza, trust me. You can. The acidity of the sauce, the cheese not fully melted, like, the crust super puffy, and you're tuning me up.
No, I'm thinking about it. I'm internalizing it. I'm also trying to think of other questions about your movie.
Oh, no. I mean, listen, don't feel any pressure.
And then what if the actor does something you're like, that was terrible?
Truly, honestly, my cast is so good. They were making great choices. I don't know. I'm trying to think if anyone was ever terrible. You get enough takes that you're going to, you know, give them an exciting different direction to
go. Did you?
Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah.
You directed your husband in the movie?
Yes, briefly.
Briefly.
Yes, yeah.
Do you give him any tough feedback? Any tough notes? Do you have to pull him aside and say, like, you're bringing nothing to this.
Yeah.
Your eyes are fucking dead.
Yeah.
You're
a million miles away, man. Get right in his face, like an inch from his face. Hey, where are you? You're gone, man. And I smack him around and stuff, and people are like, whoa, this marriage is weird.
Yeah. My understanding of directing is you have to pick one person on set to make your Shelley Duvall in The Shining and just absolutely...
Isn't that more if you're like a psycho male director?
Yeah, those are my idols.
Oh, right, yeah.
We're talking about directors.
Right.
I thought that was assumed.
Yeah,
We're talking about, yeah. No,
I liked my actors, and I did think that they're all so funny. I really did. So it wasn't like that type of scene.
Oh, so you didn't leave anybody
with
an experience
with
where that's too bad.
Yeah.
There's nobody who's like in therapy right now being like, I don't know if I can ever do this again because of that thing Chelsea said to me.
Only Jordan. My husband, yeah.
Okay.
They're moving around some equipment and stuff.
Yeah, you got it. You're glad you came.
Yeah, no, this is good. I really am. Thank you for having me.
The movie, which I loved.
Thank you so much.
It's called First Time Female Director.
Yeah.
Chelsea Peretti, the one and only.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much for being here.
Oh my gosh. Thanks for having me.
Are you going to stay Do you have a patron saint?
Oh, my patron saint? I was going to say, yeah, I was the patron saint.
Wait, but you have to save it.
Oh.
Or you could do it now and go home.
I was going to, it kind of leads well into me leaving.
Okay.
So I was going to say I'm the patron saint of finding the best restaurants close to this location.
Oh.
Patron saint, I think. I'm the patron saint of finding out how far Houston's is to here.
Do you like Houston's?
Of course.
I love
it's
Houston's.
Incredible.
The spinach dip.
This is our Venn diagram.
The best.
So
I
good.
Also, the lighting.
Incredible.
The lighting. So sophisticated, so dark.
So, yes.
I
so
love
secluded.
It.
So secluded.
And also, it's like, there's sushi on that menu? Okay.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't there
the,
be?
The artichoke dip.
The artichoke dip.
Sour cream and salsa. Come
oh. on. Mm. Oh. Mm. They put corn in their Caesar salad.
I've never gone that direction.
I wouldn't get it.
That, I love their ribs are amazing.
Yeah. Shoestring fries.
Not a shoestring fryer.
What a freak you are. What an absolute
sicko.
It's like
sicko. Essentially they're potato chips. So, bye.
All right, when we come back, Emily Heller's here. Please welcome to the stage. You know her, you love her, you call her in the middle of the night sobbing because slugs chewed up your basil again. Why is the incredible Emily Heller? Hi.
It's so good to see you.
It's so good to see you. What's I haven't up? Seen you in a while.
I know. Nothing's changed.
Okay. How's your garden?
It's pretty good. I will say I have a job now, and it has made me slightly less tyrannical about my relationships with plants.
Oh.
Because I see people now. Seeing people has really changed my relationship to my plants. It's less codependent, I guess.
Right. Right.
But it's good. It's good.
But they're still, you water them and so forth.
I water them. They're there. I've got some sugar snap peas coming in. My milkweed had gone dormant. It's starting to come back. Very exciting. Hmm. Couple more months. We're going to see some monarch eggs on there.
Monarch eggs?
Yeah, like for monarch butterflies.
Oh.
They come. They lay their eggs on the milkweed. Turns into caterpillars. Turns into butterflies. The cycle continues.
So
do you remember second grade?
I remember the film May December.
Oh, yeah.
Which had monarch butterflies in it.
I mean, first of all, that was one of those movies where it was like, so many people texted me being like, have you seen May December yet? And it was because of the butterflies in it, because that guy was rearing monarchs the way that I did. And I was like, love that movie. You should never grab a monarch butterfly by its wings. Which he does in the end of the movie.
Wow.
And I was just like, I was with him up until this point, but I
so
get
really
that
took
it would
have
been
out
hard.
Of it.
That took me out of it a little bit. And you're not supposed to rear them. I had notes about the monarch rearing, but it was mostly pretty accurate.
Okay. So I think based on what you just said, what I'm about to say also makes sense. You have a Jeopardy recap podcast. Because of course you do.
Of course I do. I just started it. We are the first and only comedy podcast about Jeopardy. There
really?
Aren't any. Isn't that weird?
That is weird.
There's basically there's the official Jeopardy podcast that's put out by the producers of Jeopardy where they have to pretend like they liked every single contestant that came through the doors.
What is boring?
Well, yeah, exactly. And that's kind of your only choice.
Huh.
And now you have us. I'm hosting it with the comedian John Cullen. He's Canadian. He knows more about Jeopardy than I do. He talks about Canada a lot. If you like Canada, you're in for quite a treat. He says sorry all the time.
That's hot.
I didn't know they really did that.
Who's the best non-Alex Trebek Jeopardy host?
Ken Jennings.
He's great.
100%. Yeah. Mayim had her charms, but she was so slow.
Well, because the charms help you not get diseases.
Look, I don't want to go hard on Mayim because it's over. Ken won. If Mayim was still in the rotation, I would be a little bit harsher on her
right now. Got it.
But the thing, and also I do think a lot of the criticism of Mayim was misogynistic. But she was fucking.
But not what I just did.
She was terrible at that job.
But what I did was fine.
No, what you did was fine because you talked about her being an anti-vaxxer.
Right.
No, she was just so slow in hosting the game that they wouldn't get through the game board. There would be multiple clues unread at the end of games that she hosted. And I think that is enough to disqualify her. But I will say she stood with the unions. Got to give her a little bit of credit for that. But I also think that's why they fired her. We don't know. I know. It's complicated. I have complicated feelings about it, and that's why I needed to start a whole fucking weekly podcast about it.
Hey, I want to ask you about one of my favorite Jeopardy moments.
Yes.
Susan Cole is from Bowie, Maryland, and her favorite type of music is something I've never heard of, but it doesn't sound like fun.
I think it's very fun. It's called Nerdcore Hip Hop. It's
Nerdcore Hip Hop.
Yes. People who identify as nerdy, rapping about the things they love, video games, science fiction, having a hard time meeting romantic partners, It's really catchy and fun.
Losers, in other words.
Just absolutely dead.
I have to say, I have been going back and watching old Jeopardy episodes over the last few years, and we have romanticized Alex Trebek to be this very kind, knowledgeable man. He was such an asshole to so many contestants in the best way. You can't say she didn't deserve that.
No.
No one watches that and is I hope he's nice to her about this. He was so, just so often his response to people's anecdotes was, okay. Like half the time.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like if you host Jeopardy, as long as Alex Trebek hosted Jeopardy, and you don't come to absolutely loathe these people with every fiber of your being, you're just a sociopath. Now, Emily.
Yeah.
We, of course, wanted to put your time and talents to the test with a round of Jeopardy. And while we were brainstorming on it, we realized, boy, there was a lot of Jeopardy in the news lately. Peril, sure. Endangerment, you betcha. Threat, like you wouldn't believe. But most of all, Jeopardy, which is why you're going to play a round of what we're calling Jeopardy Jeopardy, a version of Jeopardy dedicated to all the recent news that had us saying, oh, God. Yes. Oh, God, no. Emily, are you ready?
Can I say one thing before we start? I do know that the word Jeopardy is used in the news a lot, and it's really annoying to me because usually I'm just looking for news about the TV show Jeopardy. And then it'll be like, is school funding in Jeopardy? And I'm like, I don't care about that.
Yeah, but it was it's just a word.
It's just a word, but
we can use
it. I feel like we should just bear in mind that there are people with needs.
Yeah.
But yeah, other than that, I am ready. I'm not going to be good at this, but I'm going to try.
The categories are plain in the neck, recall me maybe, climate strange, anti-LGBTQ gonna be kidding me. Didn't nail that one. AI tech news and Zulala.
Okay, here's a question.
Uh-huh.
Are daily doubles in play?
Oh, we forgot that they exist.
Okay. Well, no, that's fine. A daily double affects where on the board you go. I'm going to go top down, like the old style.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Recall Me Maybe for 200.
Okay, give me a sec.
You sound just like Mayim.
Okay. Last week, Sargento recalled this product in 15 states over a feared listeria outbreak.
I'm going to say cheese. Wait, what is cheese?
Wow. Wow. Yes, shredded cheese. Woo! It was shredded cheese.
Thank you.
Choose another. The board is yours.
Yes. Anti-LGBTQ gotta be kidding me for 200, please, John.
God, we should have sorted these before.
Yeah, you get didn't really have a... you
what the fuck?
You should sort them into stacks.
Yeah, obviously. This North Carolina Republican gubernatorial candidate said of the LGBTQ community, there is no reason anybody anywhere in America should be telling any child about transgenderism, homosexuality, any of that filth. And yes, I called it filth.
I don't know. Tim Scott? No.
No, it was Mark Robinson.
Okay.
All right, the board is yours.
Okay. I'm going to go with plain in the neck for 600, please.
Plain in the next for 600.
Did you guys really write?
They did.
30 questions.
They wrote. Hallie wrote so many Jeopardy questions.
Oh my God!
Give it up for Hallie. A piece of airplane that fell off a United flight from San Francisco to Osaka and landed in the employee of a parking lot. This piece of an airplane.
Oh, okay. This piece. What is the wheel?
That is correct. A tire.
Thank you.
To be fair to Boeing, this might have been the fault of a maintenance team at the airport.
Okay.
Okay.
To be fair to Boeing, which I insist upon. I am so terrified about this.
Really?
I feel like there's a lot of industries in this country that I'm like, oh yeah, they're up to some shit. It's not that I didn't think that they were capable of it. I just thought that there was something that was keeping the planes in the sky. Like, it is a big enough leap of faith to get in them if they're perfect.
You know, I think it's a good example of, to me, like, there were certain things we took for granted. Even in what we celebrate, there's, like, this corrosive individualism that celebrates, like, individual conquest of various kinds. And one of the greatest technological achievements in history is not any one person being an ingenious inventor or one person's, like, risk-taking prowess to build a company. It was the steady progress of airline safety and the incredible systems and laws and institutions and practices that built up since the invention of the airplane that created the most incredible safety record that anyone could have ever possibly imagined. And we never celebrate it. We all talked about how annoyed we were about the airport and all the different problems we had at the airport. Meanwhile, what the FAA and the NTSB and the air traffic controllers and the airlines and the safety inspectors and everybody and the federal government and the state governments, what everybody collectively built was one of the most amazing systems in human history. And then it just, now it's slowly falling apart.
So what you're saying is, don't it always seem to go? You don't know what you've got until it's gone. They paved paradise, put up a parking lot, and then a wheel fell off a plane into that parking lot.
That's right. Oh, there's one that I want.
Yeah. Why don't you pick and I'll do it.
That's perfect. I have a good one.
Yeah. You pick based on which one you find in the pile.
I have one that I really want to do. Okay.
For people listening, John has just like a stack of paper in seemingly no order.
Do Zulala for 600.
Oh, well, I think I'll do Zulala for 600, please.
A Montana man named Arthur Jack Schubarth pleaded guilty to two felony wildlife charges this week after he allegedly imported animal parts from abroad and used that genetic material to create a massive hybrid version of this animal on his ranch.
A massive hybrid? What? Can I just not buzz in?
No, you're the only,
I'm the only one.
This is a dream and you're the only contestant.
What is a mega cow?
That's incorrect. The correct response, what are sheep? And I'm going to just read you this. This is from the Washington Post, which wrote up the federal complaint. To carry out his scheme, Schubarth obtained tissue from a Marco Polo argali that had been hunted in Kyrgyzstan from someone who smuggled it into the United States. He then took the sheep tissue to a lab, which used that tissue to create 165 cloned embryos. Schubarth had embryos implanted in some of the ewes on his ranch, which resulted in the birth of a purebred male Marco Polo argali, which Schubarth named Montana Mountain King. He then used Montana Mountain King's sperm to impregnate other species of ewe, thus creating the hybrid, bringing species that are prohibited in Montana across state lines to do so. That also included buying and selling parts of Rocky Mountain bighorn sheep in violation of state law, according to prosecutors. He also sold Montana Mountain King semen. That's right.
I don't know why, but I blame the television show Yellowstone for this.
No, I think that's right.
I feel like there's some way that they encourage this behavior. I haven't seen it.
I don't know. I mean, that's a pretty incredible operation, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of ideas that guy had, and he did all of them in a row. That's so many. There's so many points in that process when someone else might have said, "What am I doing here?"
Also, it's also, by the way, all for the purpose of having giant huntable animals for wealthy bang bang people just coming out. I want to kill that big sheep.
Yeah, I'm surprised he got caught. Feels like there would be a lot of people on his side being like, "Don't stop him. I want to do that."
Yeah, we'll see. Let's see what happens in his case. Do you want to do one more? Do the robots can't come fast enough for 200?
That's not one of the categories.
Oh, I. I'm sorry. We renamed that one. I tech news.
Oh, what if there was just like a secret category on Jeopardy that you just had to know about, like at In-N-Out? Like you went on Jeopardy and you were like, "I'll take Animal Style for 500.
I'll take Ken Jennings' deepest secrets for $1,000. For 200.
I for 200, please.
Last week, Los Angelinos got to enjoy the sight of this car careening into the sign for the Beverly Hills Hotel.
What is the Cybertruck?
You got it. And we have a clip.
And, like, what is the Cybertruck?
Tesla Cybertruck crashed into the Beverly Hills Hotel sign. This is the scene around midnight. Police were there assessing the situation while the truck was stalled in front of that popular hotel. No word on whether the property itself sustained any damage. Authorities say nobody was hurt and no one's been arrested.
Oh, my God.
That's good.
That's good. Why does a Cybertruck look like it's in, like, a
N64 game. Like a very, yeah. It's just,
yeah, it's,
it's all vector graphics.
Yes, it's, it looks like it's rendered far away.
Yeah. It really
it's
is.
Deep background. If that guy, we got you and I. I've heard that laugh all night. You and I are in absolute fucking sync.
So, John, is your car okay after this?
Now, you're right to wonder. But no, I don't have a Cybertruck. And in fact, it has been so long since I've even had a Tesla. I drive a very sensible Volvo now. Thank you very much. Who continue to refuse to sponsor this podcast. And I keep telling the people at Volvo, you want to be a part of this.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Let me get a Volvo.
The Cybertruck is stupid. And here's my pitch.
Yeah.
I'd like some kind of like tightly wound MBA person at some financial firm here's the project. You go to every parking lot associated with like a Fortune 500 company and you count the Cybertrucks. And you basically just figure out a formula for ratio, like number of senior executives of a company that have a Cybertruck. And then you basically build an investment vehicle where you bet against those companies.
Yeah,
you basically like
sell them short.
Yeah. Like, or just like take them out of the fund, right? Right. You just like get like basically bet against anyone who thinks owning this thing is a good idea because you cannot trust
it
their judgment.
Should be in your annual report, like how much of the C-suite is driving a Cybertruck.
Absolutely.
Because then you'd be like, oh, I'm not letting them control any of my money. No, absolutely not. Elon Musk actually said something about Jeopardy recently.
What did he say?
Jeopardy was in the news again. It got coverage by Fox News because they had a clue about pronouns.
Oh, no.
About neo-pronouns specifically. And people were mad because the clue was something like, it was a category where it was just like, name the part of speech of the thing that we say. And it was just like, Z, Zem, Zerself, you know, or something like that. And someone correctly buzzed in and said, what are pronouns? And the game moved on. And then a few people on Twitter were like, Jeopardy has gone woke. I don't need to watch this anymore. Someone literally said like, I'm turning Jeopardy off and I'm going to read my King James Bible because that never changes. Elon Musk apparently has never seen an episode of Jeopardy because he decided to like get in on it. And he was like, here's a woke Jeopardy question for you. He just said, he was like, difficult questions that require context for 400. Is it better to A, vote Republican,
oh, no,
or B, cleanse the earth in a nuclear fire? Which is just like, it just took so long to unpack, like, what does he think Jeopardy is? Does he think Jeopardy is multiple choice?
I could just picture him doing an interview where he's like, well, really, it's quite simple. It's quite simple. The questions should be the answers. They have it backwards. I could fix Jeopardy in a second. I can't really do the voice.
Yeah.
And you know that.
You did a pretty good one.
I had the tone, I think, but not the voice. Everybody check out What Is a Jeopardy Podcast.
Yes.
Available wherever you get your podcast. Thank you, Emily. When we come back.
Thank you.
Oh, when the Saints come marching in.
Don't go anywhere. This is Love It or Leave It, and there's more on the way.
I'm Dan Pfeiffer. For years, I've heard from candidates, activists, and political staffers who turn to Pod Save America for political strategy and messaging advice because they don't have access to a political consultant or a pollster. That's flattering to hear, but it's a huge problem. If we're going to defeat MAGA and protect democracy, we need everyone to have access to the best information and advice possible. That's why I recently launched MessageBox Pro, a subscription consulting product for people working at every level of politics. Subscribers get weekly strategy memos, data-driven messaging insights, and polling analysis. Plus, you get access to an incredible community of smart, committed political pros. Whether you're running for office, staffing a politician, organizing your community, or working in communications at any level, MessageBox Pro is built for you. To learn more or sign up, go to messageboxpro.com.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
I'm Dan Pfeiffer. For years, I've heard from candidates, activists, and political staffers who turn to PodSave America for political strategy and messaging advice because they don't have access to a political consultant or a pollster. That's flattering to hear, but it's a huge problem. If we're going to defeat MAGA and protect democracy, we need everyone to have access to the best information and advice possible. That's why I recently launched MessageBox Pro, a subscription consulting product for people working at every level of politics. Subscribers get weekly strategy memos, data-driven messaging insights, and polling analysis. Plus, you get access to an incredible community of smart, committed political pros. Whether you're running for office, staffing a politician, organizing your community, or working in communications at any level, MessageBox Pro is built for you. To learn more or sign up, go to messageboxpro.com.
And we're back. How's everyone's 2024 going? Chill, stress-free, no heavy knot in your stomach that tightens a little further with each passing day, easing up only in the rare fleeting moments that you're laughing out loud? Cool. Us too. But just for fun, Love It or Leave It is going back on tour. We'll be headed all over the country to cities like Asheville, Madison, Pittsburgh, and more. Again, not because of our stomachs, which feel fine. If you're hearing this on Saturday, they just have gone on sale. So go to crooked.com/events. We put a bunch of new shows out there. Some of the shows that were already online, like DC, has only a few tickets left. But we just put a bunch of new shows across the country out. So go check it out, crooked.com/events. Also, you may have heard that Vote Save America has launched a little something called the Anxiety Relief Program, and the success has been amazing so far. In just the first month, Vote Save America hit 100% of Down Homes end-of-month fundraising goals in North Carolina, 100% of Western Native Voices end-of-month goals in Montana, supported Power to the Polls efforts to engage 50,000 voters in Milwaukee, and helped support Ohio Organizing Collaborative's efforts to register 250,000 new voters. Basically, you go to Vote Save America, you sign up for the Anxiety Relief Program, you make a monthly donation, whatever you feel comfortable donating. We give 100% of that money to organizations on the ground, and that money is already making a difference in organizing in ways that will help in 2024, but also help these groups build power, build community, have the resources and infrastructure they need to succeed in 2024 and beyond. It is already doing even better than we could have imagined. So if you haven't signed up and you're looking for a way to get involved, you're sick of all the text messages that you're getting, you want to help some good local organizations, we have an incredible team at Vote Save America that is vetting these groups and finding the best way to make a difference on the ground. So please go sign up for the Vote Save America Anxiety Relief Program at votesaveamerica.com. Paid for by Vote Save America. Votesaveamerica.com. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. We got legit, you know? And now for a segment we're calling Patron Saint. Here's how it works. We'll each have 30 seconds to explain what we would be the patron saint of and celebrate of St. Patrick's birthday. I don't know anything
about
him.
It's just his day.
It's his day.
Oh, I wonder who it's going to land on.
I am the patron saint of someone who says they are so busy, but also gets an alert once a week on their phone that tells them that they were on their phone an incomprehensible amount. I am the patron saint of what seems to be a collective lie, because how can we all be busy, but then our phone tells us we looked at it for, if we're lucky, we're seeing sixes, right? Are you seeing sixes? Are you seeing sevens? Give me the number. How many people are seeing fours? Fives? Sixes? Wow. Applaud, it's a podcast. Sevens? Eights? Oh my God. Do you know what that means? Do you understand what we've given to these people? Do you understand what they've taken from us? And you feel busy, don't you? Don't you feel busy? You feel so overwhelmed and busy. And yet,
every day. Imagine if it was all together. Imagine if you did the non-phone parts of your day first and then ended every day with just the phone parts. Imagine what that would look like at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, shutting out all existence and just looking at it till 11 p.m. every single day. And you're busy. You're not getting back to people who you love. You are missing emails about people, about things you need to respond to. There are errands you want to do. There is food that is old and dead inside of your fridge. You can't get to it because you're so fucking overwhelmed and busy. But yet every day you look at your phone for 8 hours. How can it be? What's gone wrong? I'm the patron saint of that.
You know what's so fucked up about that number is, like, thinking about the labor movement and the slogan, 8 hours for work, 8 hours for rest, 8 hours for what you will. And we were like, what we will? Look at our phones. We won't look at our phones.
I don't even know. I'm right there with you.
Did you know you can, I think you can turn off those messages.
No, I need to know.
Yeah.
It's important that it tells me.
I'm not sure if I turn them off or I just automatically don't look at it. But it hasn't been bothering me for months for some reason.
Let's spin it again. It has landed on Emily. What are you the patron saint of?
I think this might surprise some people, but I am the patron saint of not feeling guilty about letting your plants die. Hmm. You killed your houseplant, so the fuck what? You're not the earth. Keeping that thing alive would be an overachievement. It's okay for them to die, get another one. Do you know how many seeds plants make? Every plant that makes seeds makes like a billion of them, because they know it's really hard for any of them to succeed. It's okay if your plants die. It doesn't mean that you don't have a green thumb. It doesn't mean that you can't keep another plant alive later. The point is, they don't have a brain. They don't have feelings. It's okay if they die. Get another one. It's fine.
All right.
Unless it's John and it's the artichoke plant that I gave you.
Where is that?
You gave it back to me because you were too freaked out.
Yeah, I gave it back. That was the right move. Is it alive?
No, it's dead. I killed it.
Oh,
well,
I could have done that.
It's
dumb. I could have gotten that.
You could have
I would have done as bad or worse or better, right? You know? All right. And that's patron saints, because it's, you know, that's what it... All right. When we come back, it's time for the high note. And we're back. And now, because we all need it, here it is, the high note.
Hi, love it. Long time, first time. So, in 2016, I started volunteering for my local Democratic committee. I'm not an extroverted person, but I found my niche helping out, editing the newsletter, and doing things behind the scenes. Now, yesterday, Joe Biden and Jill Biden happened to come to my kids' middle school. Bananas. And it was an invite-only event, and they asked the Democratic committee in town to stand behind him on stage, 15 feet from the president and the first lady. Incredible. I guess this is a story of why volunteering pays off in really unexpected ways. It was the highlight of my week, the highlight of my month. I'm super excited for 2024 now. We've got a lot of work to do, and you're the extroverts that will be out front, and I appreciate that, and I'm behind you.
Thank you to everybody who sent a high note tonight. If you want to send us a message about something that gave you hope, you can send a voice memo to lowlyhighnotes, L-O-L-I, highnotes at gmail.com. Or if you're a Friends of the Pod subscriber, you have the exclusive ability to leave us your high notes in the Friend of the Pod Discord. Before we go, they were so nice to come play the theme song. One more time, please welcome to the stage the wonderful Chris Beachy and friends.
we're going to do sort of a chill outro rendition of the theme for you. So here we go.
Time for Chris Beachy and friends. Thank you guys for doing that. That was so great. That is our show. Thank you so much to Chelsea Peretti, Emily Heller, Chris Beachy and friends. There are 233 days until the 2024 elections. Woof. Have a great night and have a great weekend. And thank you to Lodrum. Doom scrolling. Don't forget to follow us at Crooked Media on Instagram and Twitter. You can also find Love It or Leave It on YouTube for access to your favorite segments and other exclusive content. And if you're as opinionated as we are, consider dropping us a review. Finally, you can join our Friends of the Pod subscription community for ad-free episodes, exclusive content, and a great discussion on Discord. Plus, it's a great way to get involved with Vote Save America. So sign up today at crooked.com/friends. Love It or Leave It is a Crooked Media production. It is written and produced by me, John Lovett, and Lee Eisenberg. Kendra James is our executive producer, and Chris Lord is our producer. Hallie Kiefer is our head writer. Sarah Lazarus, Jocelyn Kaufman, Peter Miller, Alan Pierre, Will Miles, and Mohamed El Shiki are our writers. Evan Sutton is our editor. Kyle Seglin and Charlotte Landis provide audio support. Stephen Cologne is our audio engineer, and Milo Kim is our videographer. Our theme song is written and performed by Shore Shore. Thanks to our designer, Bernardo Serna, for creating and running all of our visuals, which you can't see because this is a podcast, and to our digital producers, Zuri Irvin, David Tolles, Claudia Shang, Mia Kelman, and Matt DeGroat, for filming and editing video each week so you can.
I'm Dan Pfeiffer. For years, I've heard from candidates, activists, and political staffers who turn to PodSave America for political strategy and messaging advice because they don't have access to a political consultant or a pollster. That's flattering to hear, but it's a huge problem. If we're going to defeat MAGA and protect democracy, we need everyone to have access to the best information and advice possible. That's why I recently launched MessageBox Pro, a subscription consulting product for people working at every level of politics. Subscribers get weekly strategy memos, data-driven messaging insights, and polling analysis. Plus, you get access to an incredible community of smart, committed political pros. Whether you're running for office, staffing a politician, organizing your community, or working in communications at any level, MessageBox Pro is built for you. To learn more or sign up, go to messageboxpro.com.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.